I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Cleo Pascal, who's my guide on a world I've never seen, but who the world fits into a playbook that is being practiced by the People's Republic of China to overwhelm the region, island by island, governance by governance. Some of these are colonies, some of them are independent, some of them are tied to the United States. We've spoken of the ones particularly vulnerable because they're in the way of the Chinese PLA in the event of war. We're now talking about the Solomon Island group and one island, Malaita in particular. Daniel Suadani came to Washington in 23. In 24, we moved to lawfare by the Chinese agents and their sympathizers, their fellow travelers on the islands of the Solomon Islands. There's a court case against Talafilu and Suadani on Malaita. What was the court case? What was the statement, the alleged crime that they'd committed, Cleo?
The alleged crime was unlawful assembly, which was against them for demonstrations that happened while Mr. Suadani was premier of Malaita province. So you'd think as premier, you could give himself the right to have an assembly. But what happened was the population of Malaita became very concerned that there was going to be a vote of no confidence against Mr. Suadani. I mentioned that one finally did succeed, but during this occasion, people of Malaita gathered around the parliament building to physically and peacefully block entry of one of the pro-Chinese agents in the parliament who was going to bring in a no confidence vote. And it was a peaceful assembly, but they brought these very spurious charges, and they were charged for three different timescales. And during one, they were actually not even in the country at the time. They were still in Taiwan. Mr. Talafilu is a close friend and policy advisor to Mr. Suadani, so they were traveling together. So it was completely spurious lawfare charges, but it dragged on for many, many months, and it was designed to bankrupt, demoralize, and isolate the two of them. And it was pretty effective. It had a severe toll on the health of Mr. Suadani, and meant that they couldn't leave the country, and it made them put them in severe financial distress.
Right, they are targeted right now. My language not clear. They're targets. The crisis comes when Daniel Suadani's health collapsed, kidney failure. Now, this next detail has patches that make sense and patches that don't. Kidney failure, a failure anywhere in the Pacific, needs a dialysis machine. Help me, Cleo, the timeline. There was a time that his health collapsed and his family brought him to a hospital. What happened next?
There's one functioning dialysis machine in the Solomon Islands, and it is a machine that was donated by China, and it is controlled by a doctor from China who is paid by the government of China and who answers to the Chinese embassy. So he came into the hospital, and that doctor was the one who came and took a look at him to decide whether or not he would be given treatment on the country's one functioning dialysis machine. There's a lot of confusion about what happened next, but the bottom line is he was not given dialysis, and he died.
55 years old. He died of kidney failure. There's a machine there. There are two other machines, you tell me, from India. What is the decision about those machines? Why were they not used?
So at the beginning of the year, India gave Solomon Islands one or two, it's a little bit unclear, but they gave them dialysis equipment, as they have done in other countries in the Pacific. India has prioritized the support of healthcare across the Pacific Island region, which is something that's gratefully received. And these machines are in operation in other countries in the Pacific, but they require training. And after the donation, the Indian government repeatedly offered the Solomon Islands government training on the machines so that they could be put into use. And this, what I hear from the Indian side is they were just stonewalled by the Solomon Islands government, and the training never happened. So those life-saving machines in a country where 14% of the population has diabetes are just sitting there unused.
And Mr. Soudani died of a sudden. Now the court case. What was the resolution of the court against Telefilu, who's still watching these proceedings?
He died. Mr. Soudani died a day before a verdict was due. The defense lawyer argued that there was no case to answer. She didn't even put up a defense. She just said that the prosecution has no proof. Ultimately, just a couple days ago, that finding was confirmed. So the magistrate's court dismissed the case, said there was no evidence. There had never been any evidence, not even circumstantial, linking Celsus Telefilu to these unlawful assembly charges. And so his case has now been dismissed, and he's a free man.
We cannot answer the question, was there witting malfeasance from the Chinese? We cannot answer that question. The events suggest it's possible, but it's not at this point something we can demonstrate. There will be more information. What is the fate of Mr. Telefilu? What is his fate today? We have about a minute.
Mr. Telefilu is an unbelievable fighter, and he has said that he is going to sue the government for malicious prosecution. He is a fighter, and there are many fighters in the Solomon Islands, including another member of the National Parliament, Honorable Peter Kenilorea, who's the son of the founding Prime Minister of Solomons, who was just awarded the Courage in Defense of Democracy Prize from the Interparliamentary Alliance on China, which is a 28-country member parliamentary alliance. So the fight goes on. Please keep your eye on this space, and please support their effort. They're fighting for all of us.
Cleo Pascal, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Daniel Suadani died at 55. That is a young man here in the 21st century. He had a dialysis machine that was not used. Is this coincidence? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.